that nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous place.
We want more from them, so let's give them. Let's show them your pure joy of the game.
Help me!
Help you.
There's no room for second place. There's only one place, and that's first place.
Winning. Wow, winning.
And to win! And to win! And to win! Winning is not a sometimes. Winning is a habit.
Welcome back, folks. And a little bye week last week. Took a little week five bye, me and my co-host. We needed a little R&R because we've been on point this fantasy season with pretty much all of our predictions. Our POA is higher than it's ever been. We're at a 97.9 POA, Mr. Jack. How do you feel about that?
I feel great. You know, and we got a letter from Roger Goodell, and he said, guys, if you could just take a week off to make it fair for all the industry professionals, we need them to try to catch up. So even in the week that we took off, we may have accidentally tweeted out a few recommendations, and they were, for the most part, right. So yeah, we had a bye week. I mean, even the pros, they get a bye week. So here we are. We're rested. We've done some game prep. We're ready for our opponent, which is week six. Historically speaking, we're strong off the bye. And I mean, this is the first bye we've had. So we're here to make history, I guess. Right, Cage?
I love it. You know, and what we did in our bye week is we switched host sites. So we were with Podomatic, and it was great. We love them. The guys at Podomatic, they were really helpful. They helped us get off the grind and get this thing rolling. But, you know, Podomatic is like when you're the high school student and you're living in your mom's basement. You got plenty of space. You got your posters on the wall. You know, and you can listen to your music as loud as you want. You're just down there playing video games all hours of the night. It's a fantastic place to play. But now that we're the big boys, we've moved on to Libsyn. And we're ready to rock, ready to grow. Exciting things coming down the way. So we want to make sure that you continue to get us. So you're going to have to update your RSS feed. It will be on our Twitter, on our Facebook, on all of our social medias. But it's really simple. It's topshelfpodcast.libsyn, LIBSYN.com. And you'll find us.
That's fantastic. And I just want to reassure everybody, in case you were worried, that during the move, I packed up my Blake Bortles poster. And Steve has his Andy Dalton fat head. We took him off the wall and we put him in the new place. So don't you worry. We've got all the stuff we need to entertain you here. So
my ginger's on fire.
So you know what? In sort of a throwback to the future, let's use the fireball to get us started. Let's start this episode by taking you through a week six recap. We'll go position by position like we always do, a little bit different this week. We're going to do the week that was and then the week that will be. So we're going to start you with the fireballers. We'll start you with quarterback. Week six, there was some repeat performers. There was some surprise performers. I want to start us off with a bang, and I want to talk about a guy who, he's back. I mean, that's the only way to put it. He's back. It's Matty Ice. I said, in, you know, after week three, I said, look, he's coming out strong. He's the first rated quarterback, but he's got a three game stretch with Carolina, Denver, and Seattle that if he shows me something, then I know he's for real. Now, Carolina, I think I'm going to disqualify them as a tough matchup because I think that D actually sucks.
Oh,
now.
They're all done. They're all done, right? Done. I mean, what is going on with those guys? So there's a couple things that happened here, right, with Carolina D. I just want to touch on this defense.
Absolutely.
Just a little bit. We've got you, right? This is how I think defenses kind of work. You either have such a good defensive line that your cornerbacks look good because you're getting so much pressure on the quarterback, or it's vice versa, right? You have such good cornerbacks that your quarterbacks take so long that your defensive line looks so good. And I think last year, their D-line was playing out of their minds, and they had Josh Norman playing some of his best football. They now lost Josh Norman and have a bunch of just used-to-bes, could-bes, maybe-gonna-bes playing cornerback. And the defensive line isn't as tight as it once was, and it's kind of the perfect storm of suck, right? They're, like, just barely better than being the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, and they've got a bunch of rookies in that secondary. And look, we talked about it at the beginning of the year. The reason I went wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver is because it's a passing league. I mean, the league is designed around the pass. The rules for DBs have been laxed to the point where it's already easier for offenses to move the ball through the air. So I would argue that knowing that's the landscape of the NFL, you've got to be good at DB, and they got a bunch of rookies out there, and it's showing. So to start that three-game stretch, you know, he lit up Carolina, and I said, okay, he's got to play well against Denver. He really did. He took care of the ball. He didn't turn it over. It wasn't really a fantasy, you know, standout performance. He only got 16 points, but that's great considering he played Denver. This week, to me, Seattle's defense is actually set up better than Denver's to beat the Atlanta Falcons. I just think the physicality up front is better. Their ability to get after the quarterback is a little bit better. And they're just positioned better to play Atlanta. Having said that, Matt Ryan did far better against Seattle in Seattle. Now, look, they didn't come out with a W, and I'm fine with that. He should have. They were there. But to put up 335 yards and three touchdowns against that defense, that's something.
And to be honest, I don't give a shit about wins and losses. Fantasy football doesn't matter if Matt Ryan wins. He put up 330 yards, three touchdowns, 27 points.
Absolutely.
That's all I care about. Absolutely. I don't care if they lost. I don't care if they won. Doesn't matter to me. I'm not a giant Falcons fan. I am a big Matty Ice fan. You know, if you drafted Matt Ryan in a late round, maybe even undrafted, and you grab this guy in your any form of keeper league, this is the guy that you got to keep from week to week to week, season to season. We've had a shaky history with Matt Ryan, but I think it's worth the value keep as we close in towards, you know, we're halfway through a season, just about closing on that middle mark. This is a guy that you want to hold on to in all of those type of keeper leagues.
And he is
going to be dynamite.
And he's a starter now for the rest of the way. There's only 1 week. Only 1 week that I sit him between now and fantasy playoffs, and that's week 11. Because he has a bye. I mean,
that's it. And even then, he might be better than starting than some of these other guys.
You know what?
But at least he isn't losing your points.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So let's talk about other guys that you could draft at a reasonable position that you, my friend, and I've just got to give you all the credit in the world. Drew Brees, look, I played you week one. You breezed me, okay? I just played you again in week six. And I'll be damned, you friggin' breezed me again. How did I get you the week Breeze had 38, and then the next time he has 40? Like, this is just not fair. The only time Drew Brees has thrown four touchdowns this season, he did it twice. Week one, against me. You. Week six, against me. What the hell?
I think Drew Brees doesn't like the Noles, is what I think it is. I'm just predicting that. I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure it's just a personal grudge against you. But it's fantastic for me. Because in case you didn't pick up on that, that means I'm 2-0, baby, against the mighty Bortle Turtles down there. And so, dominating. Let's just say this real quick, right? I just want to recap everybody. My strategy, I have the best record in the league. The gentleman that stole all my players is now only leading me by 8 points on the season, and I'm probably going to pass him this next week for the highest points scored on the season, and I have the best record. Because why? Because I value consistency and quality players, and I don't gamble with the big win, big lose kind of guys. That's why I'm going to be this year's champion.
Are you done? Because I'm still here.
I'm not done. Matt Black Trophy coming home to the compound. Going to be hanging up. I'm just going to put it right next to my Andy Dalton flathead. It's going to be fantastic. I'm going to have Andy Dalton looking up at it in his little pass motion. He's going to be just staring at the trophy is what's going to happen at the end of the season. It's going to be a glorious day. Glorious day.
So I love this because you're getting it all out of your system. But I warn you, my friend, you know, you're going to look like Cam Newton by the time the season's done. Because when you win, I mean, you're just real high. You're all excited. But when you lose, you're going to be crying like a little baby. And your press conference and podcast is going to be shorter than a Cam Newton press conference after the Super Bowl, okay?
The beauty of this is I've only had one loss on the season. And so I haven't lost a lot. So I haven't had a lot of practice, which is fantastic. And you've been telling me it's coming since the beginning of the season, and it's yet to come, because my train, baby, is just a-rolling. I'm like an old Aerosmith song. Train kept a-rolling all night long. Train kept a-rolling. Dominant. I'm dominant force, and it's fantastic. I'm loving life.
We digress.
So on that, Drew Brees lighting it up, right? He's having a great season. He's ranking in the top couple quarterbacks on the year.
I got no problem.
He does have a little of that big week, bad week.
Yeah, I mean, I've got no problem with him. And the funny thing is, you talked about consistency, and that's important. We talked about consistency ratings, and attached to consistency ratings, we also talked about health concerns. So there's two quarterbacks that were basically ranked right next to each other in the preseason, and we actually put Drew Brees against his counterpart that's generally in the same area, and that guy was Ben Roethlisberger. And if you recall, in the quarterbacks episode, we said the reason we'll take Brees over Big Ben is because Brees stays on the field and Brees is less apt to the injury. Well, I'll be damned. Big Ben just went down this week. And that's a huge, huge loss because, I mean, this guy was putting up Drew Brees-like numbers. You know, he's ranked number two in our league for scoring, which is 6 points for touchdowns for quarterbacks. And now he's all gone. So if you spent a high draft pick on Big Ben, I mean, you're struggling now to find a replacement. So, and that has a lot of fantasy implications, you know, for the rest of the season for a lot of other players too.
I mean, you probably lost last week because you only got 11 points out of him. Now you're going into playing against New England, the Steelers are, right? And now you're week seven. You probably weren't prepped for this bye week because you don't have to worry about a bye till nine. And now he's out. And now that's assuming, I mean, this is Ben. So he may, they just ruled him out for Sunday. But it wouldn't be a surprise to me if Big Ben turns it around somehow, because the guy's an animal. The guy's a beast. But you probably just lost another week out of him. And my guess is hopefully you're carrying a quarterback on your bench somewhere, which is what it is, you know, from a strategy standpoint. But if not, who are you picking up? Well, we'll talk a little bit about that, guys, to look at. But you may lose now another whole week because of this injury. And then you've got the ripple effect, right? Antonio Brown is literally almost useless when Big Ben isn't the quarterback. And I don't know how that is. Just throw the frickin' ball towards Antonio Brown. He'll do all the rest of the work.
If you're any quarterback in the NFL, especially not a starting quarterback, and you've got a guy like Antonio Brown, I can see how it's easy for you and I, who are sitting here in, you know, comfy leather chairs, to say, just throw it Antonio Brown. It's great. It's great. But just like I do almost every week, I'm going to put some football knowledge on you. Okay. I'm going to just put it out to you as plain and simple as it can be from a guy who was there on the practice squad, but still I was there. So listen, here's why the backup quarterback does not succeed with Antonio Brown. Roll the tape, go back, watch Big Ben play with Antonio Brown. Ben Roethlisberger has faith and confidence because of his chemistry and his knowledge of how Antonio Brown plays. He's putting the ball in absolutely insane places with blind faith that Antonio Brown is going to go up and get that ball, or he's going to turn around and grab that back shoulder fade. These quarterbacks that are coming off the bench and they're backing him up, they've constantly got that thought in the back of their head that I can't screw up. This is my career. This is my chance. I've got to take care of the football. The last thing they're willing to do, no matter how good their receivers are, is throw up a blind pass in the hopes that that receiver will go get it. So they're actually reluctant to throw at Antonio Brown unless he's open. Now, Antonio Brown's not always open, contrary to belief, but he's great at catching tough balls, tight-knit balls thrown in, you know, on that back shoulder fade, the tight underneath crossing route. So it's tough. It's tough for a guy like a Landry Jones to come in and actually succeed with a guy, like Antonio Brown. So I think Brown's down. Ow, now. Brown down. I get to say it again. Who I think is up on that team is Le'Veon Bell. They're obviously going to lean on the running game. They're obviously going to lean on the dump down pass. So I think the good thing is if you stashed Bell, his value actually now skyrockets even higher, if that's even possible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to like Bell, so I'm not going to. But in fantasy, if he's phenomenal, and it pains me to say it.
he's your guy. He's your guy.
I just want him to get suspended for smoking weed again. Maybe not next week, but the week after that, because I think that's when I play him. So if you could toke up pretty hard after week six, I would appreciate that. That'd be helpful to me. You know, I understand all that. I guess that makes sense to me, and that's why they're backup quarterbacks, because they're not smart enough to see, you know, the trees through the forest. But you know, as we're looking at these quarterbacks, there's another guy that we have to talk about, because we didn't have him ranked in our top 10. I don't think anybody did. And I think he's at like 11 or so right now. Maybe he's right at 10. And that's Dak Prescott. Right?
He's at 10, so, dead on. He is one spot ahead of your boy.
Right above Mr. Dalton. So Dak Prescott, yeah. This guy is clearly playing good football. And the Cowboys are winning. Romo, Peanut Brittle Romo, is cleared to play, practice? Are we at that stage? What do we do when Romo is healthy? I am firmly on the play Dak until the end. But what are you thinking?
I mean, this is a PR nightmare. We got to be honest about it. Because when it comes to football and in between the white lines, Romo is not healthy. He hasn't been healthy for a long time. This kid is playing not just good football, he's playing the right kind of football. He's taking care of the ball. Look, he had a pick this week. It was a tipped ball at the line of scrimmage. That's not, enough I don't put that
he
on
set
him.
Set the record for the most consecutive passes without an interception by a rookie, beating the man Tom Brady.
Tied the record. Let's be honest. Tied the record. But, and even that interception, I don't put on him, but he's playing the right kind of football. You know why? He's not laser focused on any one receiving option. He is actually making all of the talent around him better, because what he's doing, he's reading the field, he's taking what the defense gives him, and he's just delivering the ball to the right option. He's making smart decisions. Now, I've got to be honest with something, and it's really a question, and I don't know if it's rhetorical, but can you actually answer me, when did Tony Romo actually become good? Because now that I'm looking back, just in my memory, you know, not on stats or anything like that, but I actually can't remember when he did something like noteworthy. I mean, this guy became famous when he screwed up holding the field goal, you know, for a playoff chance. Am I wrong? Like, when did Tony Romo actually do anything worth a damn?
Tony Romo, to me, is the Dallas Cowboys' Drew Bledsoe, right? Like,
God, that's a good damn
just
description.
Kind of good enough. Where, you know, after Aikman left, right, there was some times where they weren't good for a long time, and they were just searching for quarterbacks, and they found Romo. And they're like, we've got our quarterback, and Romo isn't a bad quarterback. And as much as we make fun of him, he's kind of a tough son of a bitch, right? He goes out there and plays for all kinds of crazy shit. But he's not like a top 10 all-time, top 20 all-time quarterback. He's a really good quarterback, and that's all he is. But he needs a great team around him to win, which is why they haven't won with him. So
wait. You mean the Bledsoe that was with the Patriots, not the Bledsoe that actually was with the Cowboys?
I do mean that, yeah. So I go back to the Patriots.
Everybody forgets that like random chapter in both the Cowboys and Drew Bledsoe's history, I think.
Yeah, I just kind of washed that from my memory. But yeah, that you know, that's how I see Tony Romo. From a fantasy standpoint, he puts up big numbers because he throws the ball a lot. He chucks it too much. But he's kind of your example of like, kind of like Brett Favre from a fantasy standpoint. He just didn't make good decisions. So he may score you 35 points, or he could throw four interceptions. You have no idea what's going to happen with Tony Romo. And that's why he's just kind of he's a good quarterback, but not your top five. Not even your top 10, I don't think. He's just kind of in that top third group. And all time, I don't even really rank him anywhere special. I don't think he's anything really to write home about.
I mean, this to me, this is a no-brainer. I mean, from a GM's perspective, in both your hopes to win now and your opportunity to build for the future, Dak Prescott checks off both of those boxes. He's making all the players around him better. He's winning games. He's taking care of the football. He's putting butts in seats. He's popular. He everyone loves him. Now, from a GM perspective, that works. From a coach's perspective, that works. Enter Jerry Jones, the wild card, and enter the fact that they have a bye week this week. So now if Romo was just getting healthy and they had to roll right away and play another opponent, it's a tougher call. But the fact that he's getting back on the practice field at about the same time they have this bye week, I mean, it just gives them too much time to think and get in
their
own way.
Jerry Jones is going to screw this up.
So knowing the Dallas Cowboys, they're gonna screw this one up four ways from Sunday. So fantasy implication is you can't have just Dak. You've got to have another guy, which, because the type of player he is, chances are you do have another guy. So, I mean, obviously he's got a bye this week, so he's sitting anyways. So, I mean, let's use this as a good chance to kind of look ahead a little bit. Looking at the quarterbacks you have here, just outside of the top 10, if you're looking for a fill-in quarterback, who's the guy you go to this week, week 7 to get you that win?
Well, you know, I'm guessing Andy Dalton's available in about 45% of the leagues. I'd go get Andy Dalton. He's throwing together a couple weeks back-to-back. He's the 11th ranked quarterback. We have, 25 week 5, 23 last week against a tough New England defense. Going up against Cleveland, you got to head towards Andy Dalton. He's not going to hurt you. He's only had one bad week on the season. I like him a lot.
And second to last ranked defense, Cleveland, which definitely looks good for him. And that's at home. So typically here, I would actually say go to like a Kirk Cousins against Detroit, who's last against the past. But I think the fact that they're on the road actually skews it a little bit in Andy Dalton's favor. How about Marcus Mariota? We talked about him, really early on in the season as a guy who could potentially become a fill-in guy. Now, we said wait on him, which is good because he had two bad weeks, really bad weeks. But back-to-back against Miami and Cleveland, 30-plus points, 3 touchdowns in each of those games. He doesn't overwhelm me with the yards. It's because they have a really strong running game. But that running game opens up the play action, which is why his touchdown numbers are high. He's got Indianapolis, Jacksonville at home, San Diego on the road. He's got 3 really soft matchups in a row. And he's only owned at about 41% of leagues in ESPN. I roll with Marcus Mariota.
I like Mariota as well. I think it's a good pick. The thing that concerns me about Mariota is there's not a lot of consistency there, right? It's the third week makes the streak. So if he puts it up against Indy, I mean, it's worth the gamble. Indy's defense clearly sucks. So it's certainly worth the gamble going Mariota. But I got to go Fireball. If Fireball's available, I got to do it. I got to stick to my boy. But if he isn't available, because your league's smart and already plays Andy Dalton, then Marcus Mariota is a nice pick. I like that. I would stay away from the Tannehills and those guys. I don't like those.
Yeah, Marcus. No, I agree with that. I agree with that. And, I've actually got to talk down about my guy. Blake Bortles, I hate to admit it, but he's starting to fall into that category that early season. Everyone thought he was going to regress quite a bit. And unfortunately, he's regressing a lot a bit. He had a soft matchup against Chicago last week. I was expecting a lot more out of him in that Chicago game. He turned the ball over a couple times, made a bunch of dumb mistakes. They win the game, which is crazy, but 12 fantasy points. He's now become that quarterback that every other week he's producing. That's the bad news. The good news is he's got Oakland this week, which is allowing every quarterback to have a really good week. And this is the other week. So this, based on his trajectory, this should be his up week, soft matchup. Still okay to roll with Blake Bortles. I'm going to roll with him again. I don't think it's a problem against Oakland especially. But if one of those guys, those trendy guys like a Dak or a Mariota is available, take a peek. If you got a roster spot, a burner spot, if you'd like to call it, maybe take a look at one of those and grab one of those guys just in case Bortles, continues a downward trend.
Yeah, Bortles is around the 20th ranked player, so you can make some moves and maybe find a guy. Kirk Cousins is better, probably on a team. Tyrod Taylor is performing a little better, probably on a team. Eli Manning is performing better, but still sucking wind, right where I said he was going to be, nowhere near the top 10. Closing in on the 20, loving it. I want Case Keenum to pass him on the season, then all will be right with the world. And you know, you really got to play matchups on these bye weeks and see who's available.
Well, that's a good point, actually, and I want to go to that because there's a guy that is owned in like 90%+ of leagues, but he only gets started like 30% of the time, and it's Phillip Rivers. So Phillip Rivers has Atlanta now. Atlanta's been in a bunch of shootout games because their defense is not that great. In fact, they're 30th against quarterbacks fantasy-wise. So Phillip Rivers is a guy this week who's a top 10 option, who typically you would think if it's a top 10 quarterback, you're always starting that guy. But for some reason, people aren't trusting him. So, you know, two out of three times, people are starting somebody else. Phillip Rivers, you got to go with him. And he's doing it. He's doing it. You know, I talked about Dak doing it the right way. Phillip Rivers is using everybody. You know, when we get to tight ends, we don't usually spend a lot of time on tight ends, but he's got a young tight end that is like the real deal. The guy's just putting up touchdowns, nice, getting targets. Yeah, so Phillip Rivers, I think this week against Atlanta, that game is set up to be a real shootout, high-scoring game. I think of like the top 10 quarterbacks, you know, Phillip Rivers is a really good potential to break out. So, you know, I think he's going to have one of those high yardage, multiple touchdown games. So definitely look to Phil Rivers.
I like it. I like it a lot. You know, just kind of keep posting on Facebook. Ask us your questions if you're really in a bind and who you need to go to. But it's pretty simple. Just kind of sort it. Sort your roster by, at this stage of the game, most points scored towards the season. See who's ranking better than your guy. And then find the best matchup. That's really what to do if for your bye week fill-in this week. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. If you're in a single-season league and you're holding on to some guy hoping he's going to give you something and turn it on and maybe get picked up, some crazy talk, dump him. That's your bye week cut guy.
I mean, you know, those guys that you're still holding on hope for, you know, that's like the girlfriend that, you know, like you've been dating her for a while, so you keep her around, you know, just because you're comfortable. Well, you know what? If you don't see a future, you just got to let her go. And just let her go. And you know what? Now is about that time of year that there's better girls in the free agency market. And there's girls that are going to get more playing time. And there's girls that are, you know, going to get more, you know, shares of carries in the backfield. So this is the tough one, and I say shares of carries because when you tweet us your questions, the questions I get the most are the running back starts and sits, because these guys, like we predicted, all over the freaking map, all over the map. And when it comes to health questions, a lot of times right up into the gun, you don't know who to start and sit. So let's run right into the running backs. Haha, that was a good one. Let's run into the running backs, though. I just have to start with a guy that I thought he was going to decrease, but instead of decreasing, he not only maintained. This guy is one of the next greats, and it's David Johnson. Did you see his first touchdown run last night?
Against
the Jets.
I unfortunately was able to watch football last night. I had some domestic matters I had to deal with.
Domestic matters. I love it. So look, it's worth your time to watch the highlight. This guy, he's so explosive. I mean, he really does on tape look like one of the greats. And I'm trying to come up with a guy to compare him to, but it's hard because he's got the feet of LaDainian Tomlinson, but he's got like the big bruising body size of some of like the bigger backs that you see. So it's almost like, they said Marshall Faulk last night too. And this guy's way bigger than Marshall Faulk. I almost want to say like Eddie George with like Marshall Faulk's agility. Like, this guy's incredible. And when you watch him, he doesn't look like he's moving that fast. Like, he's not moving his legs that fast. And then all of a sudden he just separates. This guy's a special player, Steve, both fantasy and in real life. I mean, we're looking at two back-to-back 30-point weeks. That's a first-round running back. That's the only guy that I'm okay with my first-round pick, you know, being in the camp of.
I mean, I would be okay with probably Zeke Elliott as well if I grabbed him. I'm getting happy with him. But I agree. David Johnson is something special. Putting up consistent points. The guy's a great performer. He's a great football player. He's fun to watch. We were right on his catch totals, though, right? He's not getting these points through the catches. Unfortunately, he's just running all over the place and getting his points that way.
All over the place.
He's on pace for about 60 catches. We're about where we put him. He's getting 3 to 4 a week. So we were on point even with our catch total going down on this guy. But the guy is just looking phenomenal. I mean, he's had one, I'm going to call it a bad week, and he got 12 points. That's the only bad week he's had, right? I mean, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, and you bring up Zeke Elliott, and look, the guy is definitely outproducing what I thought he would, right? So that's one of the things bringing down my POA, but my prediction still has its chance to shine because the carries that they're giving this kid, I mean, this guy is on like Terrell Davis type pace with carries, and he has one week that he's been under 20 carries, and this week against the toughest run defense up until this point in Green Bay, he's got 28 carries against that defense. Now, look, I know he had 157 yards, and he did look excellent, but that O-line, I mean, that O-line is as impressive as Ezekiel Elliott is, but if this guy keeps getting this type of workload, I just don't know if a rookie can manage it. Do you see him staying healthy the whole season?
I mean, it's hard. It's hard, right? Rookie, not used to playing 16 games, just the wear and tear and the beating. I mean, the only thing he's got going for him is the age, right? He's a young guy. Hopefully he can bounce back quick. Football's got questionable substance policy as far as how they can get back out on the field. So, I mean, there are things he can take and do without even getting into the real heavy, you know, chemicals that people can use to stay out there and stay healthy and bounce back. The old deer antler velvet trick works pretty well. I've used that in my athletic past quite a bit, and that helps you bounce back quick. So, I mean, odds aren't in his favor, but he hasn't done anything to this point to make me think he's not going to do it. I don't know. You got to keep rolling with him until he hurts you.
Well, and we talked about the Dak thing a little bit, and, you know, I think whatever decision they make with the quarterback going forward actually has a decent impact on Ezekiel Elliott as well, because as much as common sense would tell you, it's working, keep running the ball. I mean, Jason Garrett's a quarterback. He's an offensive-minded guy. Part of me says if they do give Romo a shot at about the same time Dez Bryant's back on the field, they're going to be looking to try to throw the ball more, and they're going to change the game plan, and they're going to go a little bit away from that run.
It's going to do exactly what Brady did to Blunt, right? It's going to take 5-6 carries away. That could mean, you know, a handful of fantasy points. The guy's averaging, got a decent run. So you may be talking 3-4 fantasy points a week, which makes Zeke not a great play now. Makes him an RB2, you know, type of player.
I mean, you nailed it. What a comparison. I mean, honestly, I didn't even think of that. You nailed it. I'm looking at Blunt's carries right now. Through the first 3 weeks of the season, 22, 29, 24, post-Brady, 18, 13.
And the way they're running Blunt, the way that they're running Blunt is completely different than the way they were running him. They're just using him as a distraction. It's not like a real offensive weapon. They're not like, well, go get us, you know, this is a designed run for you to go get us 15 yards. They're just using it to turn the down over or to just, you know, take the eye off, make the play action work. That's all they're really using Blunt for, which is why even why his yards per carry went down a little bit, as you can tell. It's, you know, it really was pretty devastating to Blunt owners, and I think it's not like Romo's going to come back and be like, you know what I'm going to do? I want to keep handing off 25 yards to this young kid, make him look good. Romo's got to like prove that he deserves to be out there and that he deserves to start over Dak. So I think he's just going to be airing the ball out to Dallas's demise. And I say if Romo comes back, they're out of the playoffs.
I would agree with you 100%. I absolutely agree with you 100%. And I think it's going to do worse for the clubhouse even
so
than
too.
It does on the field. I think that clubhouse is behind Dak.
And they look like they're having fun. And from an ownership standpoint, now, from a human being standpoint, Romo should take the rest of the season just to finally freaking heal, right? I mean, like, I almost feel bad for this guy's spine at this stage of the game. Just take a break, get better, come back next season. Because you don't need him right now. If you need him week 12, week 13, Dak goes down or something along those lines, stick Romo in. But just let the guy heal. He broke his back. Give him as much time as he needs to actually get better. And then if you don't need him for the season, It's not like his value is going to go up if he plays the next 8 weeks. It's Tony Romo. He still carries a name. He still has a value. Some team's still going to give you a first round for the guy. And if you're going to trade him off, if that becomes your plan as well, it's foolish. Completely foolish to play Romo. And it would destroy Elliott, and it'd be bad for fantasy. And Dez Bryant would be useful. That's all it would do, is Dez Bryant would be useful.
A little bit. So, you know, weekly, I like to remind everybody how right we are. So I'm going to rank these quarterbacks. Look at the top five. Dave Johnson still number one.
Hey, you did a me. You did a me. You call them quarterbacks. They're running backs, jackass.
Oh, what an
idiot. I got gotcha. You. I
got
gotcha.
You. What an idiot. He caught me. Okay, fine. I screwed up once. It happens. I'm human. Dave Johnson, number one. LeSean McCoy hanging in number two and getting stronger.
Looked fantastic.
LeSean McCoy is a guy. I took him in the third round. You know, 220 plus yard games in a row. Granted, soft matchups, but he's killing it. DeMarco Murray had a down week, still number three in the league. So, you know, LeSean McCoy and DeMarco Murray, we told you those are the guys you can wait third round or later for them. As good as Ezekiel Elliott's been playing, those two guys are still ranked ahead of him, and you could wait two whole rounds to get those guys.
Remember this next season.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, you got to be smart about those running backs. Now, a guy you actually grabbed off of the waiver wire is looking fantastic over his last three games, Christian Michael. I mean, this guy has turned your fantasy team around. If not for that snag, you're not in the place you are today. Christian Michael, he had Atlanta. He had a soft matchup. But, I mean, dude, they get close to the end zone, and they're putting him in. And, honestly, the road doesn't really get that terrible for Seattle against the run until maybe Buffalo in week 9. But, dude, Christian Michael, 92% owned as he should be. This guy, you know, they all said, oh, he found it. You know, he finally figured it out. Yeah, you're damn right. I mean, he looks good. You know, 23 points, 16, and then 20 and a half his last three performances. This guy's really turning out a good season.
He's a guy when Rawls comes back. I don't think Rawls going to steal it from him, right?
No.
They don't have
any
money in Rawls, so they just want to play the hot hand and pick their back. I don't think you have to worry about Rawls coming back and hurting Michael.
No, and you know what? Arizona this week for them on the road, Arizona's ranked fourth against the run. I haven't seen it, though. Like, you know, on paper, it's fourth. I don't know. I haven't seen Arizona be that dominant against the run. What do you think he does against Arizona?
You know, I think it's what's going to happen is he's going to have like a Jets-like game where he may not run as many yards, but they're going to dump off to him more. So his catch total is going to go up, but his actual rushing yards will go down. You may see him get, you know, 5-6 catches this week as opposed to, you know, 2 or 3. And, you know, can we get a touchdown out of him? That's kind of what it becomes. Can you get a goal line thing out of him? I still think he's a must start until he proves otherwise, just simply because 3 straight weeks, 3 straight above 13-point performances. If he was on your team, you got to play him. He's definitely not.
That was my next question, is he a must start? And
I think he is.
I'm glad you said it. I agree with you. I've got a guy on my roster that I picked up as a free agent who's driving me nuts. And I need to talk about this guy. So Spencer Ware, first week of the season, splash, great game, 28.5 points, over 120 yards of overall offense. And then the next 3 weeks, he was mediocre. He lost a fumble in each of the game, costing him a couple points, scored under 10. So here I am this week. Jamaal Charles is finally healthy after a bye week. I'm like, I'm definitely sitting Spencer Ware. They're going to roll out the shiny new pony, Barbaro. And then the guy goes off for 131 yards and a touchdown. And even though Jamaal Charles vultured a score, this guy puts up 23 on my bench. What the hell do I do with Spencer Ware for the rest of the season?
I wish I had the magic ball for you, but one of my main teams, huge buy-in, huge league, deep league. I have both Spencer Ware and Jamaal Charles. So my team's deep enough where I made the gamble. I started Charles over Ware. I felt really good. I got Antonio Brown. My team is stacked, right? So starting Jamaal Charles over Spencer Ware cost me the game, right? It just did. I ended up losing because I needed those 9 points for the victory. But, you know, Oakland just couldn't stop the run. So they just kept running and running and running and running. And I think they just kind of had a pitch count for Jamaal Charles. They were going to run him X number of times last week, and whatever he got's what he got. And then they were just going to think where was working, so they're just going to keep running wear down Oakland's throat. And I just think it was kind of the perfect storm. He had some tough Ds on paper. You know, Houston's D is not a slouch against a run. The Jets D, not a slouch against a run. Pittsburgh's D's, not a slouch, right? They're not top tight D's, but they're not bad defenses. Oakland's D sucks next week. New Orleans sucks. I think on next week, you may want to do what I've done now, two weeks out of the season, and started both Freeman and Tevin Coleman. I would maybe think about starting both Charles and Spencer Ware.
That is absolutely insane. I cannot agree with you on that until you prove me wrong, like you did with Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. Now, here's the problem with that, right? So, like, the 1 week that you started Freeman and Coleman, they both had, I mean, combined for 56 friggin' points, okay? Which is insane. But if you had started them both this week, which you didn't, thank God, I mean, Freeman had 8 and Tevin Coleman had 1.5. So if you started them both this week, you had one guy. So that's my problem with Spencer Ware is we talk about consistency. He hasn't been consistent. Now, here's where I'm screwed. They've got the Saints. That's a soft as hell matchup, especially against the run. Like, I think
you got to run him until he hurts you.
I feel like I want to sing a song. I feel like my mind's telling me no, but my body's telling me where. I don't know what to do. My brain says go Spencer Ware against the Saints, but then my heart says no, it's a soft matchup. Maybe that's the week Jamaal Charles blows up.
Let's talk about this, right? So name me your running backs. This is how you're gonna break this down, folks. This is a lesson in fantasy football. So Jack broke down the football knowledge. Let me break down how I analyze this running back breakdown from your top-ranked football team from the Top Shelf League.
I can't believe I'm in this position. I feel like I'm on the leather couch and like I'm
give it to me, Jack.
I was 5 years old and it was Christmas and all I wanted was the pony. For me, I've got LeSean McCoy. There's no question there about, you know, I don't care who he plays, he's starting. Here's the problem. Jeremy Hill, Jordan Howard, Spencer Ware. Three players all in the same goddamn predicament, splitting time, playing the matchups. It's a nightmare.
So Hill you can't even see from your top scoring board, right?
Yeah, like, no.
He's way the frick down there, down in the 20s, maybe the 30s, somewhere down there. Garbage, right? Howard, let's take a quick look at Howard.
Well, Hold on. Don't pass over it. Garbage, who put up 21 points against the Denver friggin' Broncos, and he pulls the Cleveland Browns this week.
He's a complete frickin' luck shot, right? Like 9, 6.5, 21, 7, 1, 3.5. What's he going to do against Cleveland? Who the fuck knows? 52, 3, 8, 12, pick a number. You have no freaking idea. It's a gamble shot. I don't like the gamble shots. So I say, fuck Hill. I would trade Hill for something worth freaking owning because Hill's a shitbag. And because he's way down there.
You just got a trade proposal in your inbox.
we're 6 weeks in, and Hill is outside of the top 25 running backs in the league. He's behind James White on the Patriots, who scored half of his points last week.
Who's also right? another luck shot. And so
luck shot.
I love that we're playing this game because we're talking about a bunch of guys that are all basically in the same bucket of players.
It becomes you like Howard or Ware's matchup better?
Well, and Howard's got
Howard against Green Bay.
Yeah.
Or you got Ware against the Saints, who, let's face it, even if Jamaal Charles is the starting running back and just runs, he's going to get tired because there's nobody to stop him on the field. So Ware's going to get a turn, and he's going to run till he's tired. You may see Shakandrick West get 10 carries for 100 yards against the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, Shakandrick Kanye West reference. That's fantastic. So, yeah, I mean, so, I like to play devil's advocate. I set you up because I wanted to see if you came up with the right answer. If you're deciding a bunch of, among a bag of a bunch of, you know, random gambles, play the matchups, and absolutely, Spencer Ware, guys, this week, New Orleans Saints, 32nd against the run. It's safe. It's safe to go with him. You know, he had a couple of down weeks. He had the turnovers. I don't think the Jamaal Charles thing is too scary to me. It's safe to get back on his bandwagon. There's another guy that we, you know, I shit all over this guy. And I said, you know, don't go out and, you know, dump your whole roster to pick him off of waivers. He got pissed that I said that and now is putting up fantasy numbers. And it's Terrence West. Now, if you started him over the last 3 weeks, you're psyched about it. 17, 10, which is whatever, and then 25. He's got the
New
York Jets.
If you started him, 10's good because that means you had nobody. So,
it worked out for you.
I've really lucked out because in some of my leagues, I had Forsett and West on the team. And I wasn't playing Forsett just due to bye weeks, injuries, spot starting Blunt. I've been rolling West the last 3 weeks, and it's been worked out for me. And now that Forsett got picked up in Detroit, all the reports said last week that he was going to get a lot of touches. He didn't, but I think this week you're going to see him get a lot of touches. And Forsett's now going to be a possibly valuable running back. If you're hurting in running back, most likely everybody cut Forsett. Just go get him and maybe take a gamble start on him if he's available. Or at least stash and grab just in case. But Terrence West, playing good. As long as he gets over 20 carries, he runs about 100 yards. He's got a solid shot at getting you a touchdown.
I like it. I absolutely like it. And before we move on from running backs, I just want to touch on one more guy that, I mean, this guy put my POA through the roof. Week one, this running back had 27 fantasy points against Carolina. And I said, awesome, trade him, guys. Take that value and trade him. He's going to have a down week. Week two against Indy, he had 15.5 points. Now, he had a worse game against the Colts than he did against Carolina. I said, guys, I'm telling you, now's the time. Trade him now while value's high. He's got Cincinnati in week three. Sure enough, throws a dud against Cincinnati at 3.5. Comes out against Tampa Bay, 10.5. Atlanta, 7.5. San Diego, 8. All of a sudden, this guy is mediocre to borderline not startable. Do you know who this running back is, Cage?
It's C.J. Anderson.
It is C.J. Trade his ass. He's not worth it, Anderson.
So now, like, let's look at this. C.J. Anderson's run counts are down around 10, 11 a week.
It's terrible.
Nobody is scoring enough points with 10 carries a week. But I can guarantee you, if you tried to trade C.J. Anderson for a solid mid-card running back right now, some jackass is going to take this deal. You may be able to get Matt Jones. He's putting up some good numbers over the last couple weeks. Easy, all day long, and maybe even a flyer wide receiver. You get a Terrence West all day long. You might even be able to get somebody to trade you Michael for C.J. Anderson because Anderson's got this crazy name, and everybody thinks it's a great move. I would give that a go.
I mean, the hard part is, you know, if your league's paying attention, if they're listening to this podcast, I mean, then they know that C.J. Anderson's in trouble, and it's too late. Like, I told you, you guys got to pull the trigger.
It may be too late, but you got to take the shot.
He's losing his job. Now, I was all over the assumption that C.J. Anderson was not going to be a valuable running back this year. That was my call. What I didn't call was that he would actually just lose his job outright. You know, this Devontae Booker kid, he's starting to gain a lot of those valuable carries. I mean, they're almost in an even split. I'm trying to find Booker here because he's still ranked pretty low. But, I mean, Booker, his attempts are still 5-6. They're still about half as much as C.J. Anderson. But the crazy part is with his 5 carries this week, he almost outgained, C.J. Anderson. So, I mean, that's actually, he did outgain C.J. Anderson, half as many carries, and he outgained him by 10 yards. So that, to me, is what's even scarier, that it's not just Anderson having a bad go at things. It's a young kid outproducing him every opportunity he has to do it. So it's time to move on, folks, if you haven't done so already.
I agree, and I don't think you're going to see anything great even out of Booker this season because I don't think they're going to give the ball to all one guy. They're going to keep doing the split back thing. But you know, trade him if you can. That's all we can say. Just trade him if you can.
Nailed it.
Just kind of look. Just kind of look. Nailed it. You freaking nailed it. I said wait the one more week, and now, I mean, if you haven't traded him already, too bad. So
yeah,
sad.
Yeah, it's tough.
You're in trouble.
So speaking of nailed it, I got to go to wide receiver, and my personal POA is inching ever so upward because I said that if I had the first pick, I would have taken Julio Jones. Now, a couple weeks ago, I said, you know, Antonio Brown, I like the consistency, so I think I would trade in the Julio Jones for the consistency. You throw that all away. Throw that all away, because now Julio Jones is clicking, and he did it against Seattle, and he is tied with Antonio Brown at number one, 101.5 points. I love it. And honestly, now, I mean, I can't predict injuries, and I can't say that I was right because of an injury, but now Julio Jones, moving forward, is definitely the better of those two guys to have on your team.
Yeah, I mean, I think you get 1 week this next week of Antonio Brown being a dud because without Roethlisberger at quarterback, nobody else can find him. So I am going to sit Antonio Brown this week.
Holy
in every league that
cow.
I have.
Holy cow.
I am going to sit him because I had him last year when Roethlisberger went down. I had him the year before when Roethlisberger went down. And you know what he gets me? Less than 10 fucking points every week that Roethlisberger's down. So Cole Beasley is a better start next week. And I haven't even looked at who his matchup is than Antonio Brown next week. And let that resonate for a hot second.
I love that
second.
You said that because literally Cole Beasley is my boy. And when I first mentioned him on this podcast, I just want everyone to know Steve literally LOL'd. Okay. He literally, is it LOL'd or is it LOL? He LOL. He laughed out loud, literally, at Cole Beasley. And now who's laughing? Because that kid is fantastic and he's getting in the end zone.
Well, he's fantastic. I mean, he's had one great week. I mean, he's had one 20-point week. A 13-point week from a wide receiver isn't sexy. And before that, it's all around 10 points a week. He's really consistent. He's a nice bi-week flex play. Don't go building a house around Cole Beasley's fantasy football value here.
Build the house. Apply for the mortgage right now and build the house. He is a poor man's Julian Edelman. And I just say poor because he's got that weird haircut thing going on. And he looks like trailer trash, but he'll fix it. Here's the thing that I love about him. Dropping that football knowledge on you. We talk about chemistry and quarterbacks that have a chemistry with their wide receiver. Every time they show Dak Prescott on the sidelines, he's talking to friggin' Cole Beasley. These two, they have a chemistry. He's looking for him. He trusts him. He is to Dak as Edelman is to Brady. Which, now that I've said it out loud, it sucks because all of a sudden Edelman's disappeared from the face of the earth. But
so Edelman's a scary thing. We'll get into that in a second.
Yeah, but
rant and
look, before
Edelman
disappeared, I mean, that's the guy. If it's a third down and we need it, okay, which I know is not an actual amount of yardage, but if it's a third down and shit, we have to have it, it's going to Cole Beasley. I mean, the guy is getting all of the important downs. He's getting the looks in the clutch moments. He's getting the red zone targets. I love it. I think the ceiling is higher. I think he improves even more. And when Dez comes back healthy, you're telling me they're not still going to pay attention to Dez? As much as we talk about trading guys from their name, real life cornerbacks cover real life guys because of their name and their presence. And Dez Bryant, I don't care what broken bone he has or fracture, they're going to cover that guy. And Cole Beasley now not only has the rapport, but is going to have the single coverage with no help over the top. And I think Beasley just gets better.
Well, to support your point, Dak Prescott is not loyal to Dez Bryant. Tony Romo is. So if Dak Prescott's your quarterback, he's going to keep spreading the ball like he is, which has pluses and minuses from a fantasy standpoint, but it's not going to be 12 throws to Dez Bryant like Romo will do when he comes back. If Romo comes back, everybody else on the Dallas Cowboys is useless except for him and Dez Bryant. Dak Prescott stays in there.
I like it. He just merged them together like a liger.
Just merged together. Dak comes back. Beasley maintains some value. And when Bryant comes back, I agree, he's going to get the double team coverage. Beasley's not going to lose much. Maybe a catch or two because they're going to Dez. Like, he's going to get still 6-7 balls thrown his way. So that's going to get taken from Beasley and Williams and whatever. But he's definitely a good stash and grab and a nice bye week flex play. I like him as that pickup. And he's outperformed Jordy Nelson. So what
else can you say? Which is weird because, like, I don't know, like Jordy Nelson, he's one of those guys. He's almost like the wide receiver version of Andy Dalton. Like, I feel like Jordy Nelson's been playing really good football. I mean, look at him weeks 1 through 5, not including the bye week. He got in the end zone every single week. You know, he's at 4+ targets every single week. I mean, he's getting the job done. He's still Aaron Rodgers' guy. I don't see any ill effects from that injury. I thought he was going to slow down. I thought it was going to affect him, and it hasn't. But the fantasy production's not there. He had 2 weeks.
Because Aaron Rodgers isn't getting it done. I don't know if it's that offensive line's fucking bad or what the problem is, but Aaron Rodgers looks bad. He doesn't look good.
He doesn't. And, you know, I had this argument with a buddy of mine, and I'm not off the Aaron Rodgers bandwagon yet because I think he's a great quarterback. But, and I've been analyzing this as close as possible, the thing that I keep going back to is you mentioned LeGarrette Blount, okay? And you mentioned how the Patriots, they said, you know we're slinging the ball everywhere, but every once in a while we have to sprinkle a Blount in just to keep the defense honest. Green Bay can't do that because Cookie Monster, dude, he is bad. I mean, and I think he's getting bigger. I think he is swelling. I think he...
It's amazing to me that every week, if you watch a fantasy football show, they're like, you got to start Lacy. It's a great matchup. No. Lacy is hot garbage, right? He is literally a steaming pile of garbage. If you watch wrestling...
Oh, Jesus.
There's a tag team that refers to people as hot garbage. The Cookie Monster is on fire, hot garbage.
And it's worse because it's not even like it's not even served hot, right? So it's not like the first time served hot. Like, it's been microwaved. It's been like reheated hot. So it's actually like, he's like lukewarm garbage. And I don't mean that to degrade his level of garbageness. I actually mean it just to degrade the temperature. But yeah, it's funny. I've watched now 2 games in a row where Eddie Lacy, like, he would come in and he'd have a really strong run. And then, like, the broadcasters were like, oh, there he is, Eddie Lacy, showing that running prowess and that strength that they really need to reestablish a run game. In the very next clip, they're like, well, Eddie Lacy's over on the table getting his ankle taped. It's obviously an issue. Lose some weight because your ankles can't even hold you up, you fat ass. You
know, I got a crazy idea. Stop sucking, right? That's how. Stop sucking. And so on that point, though, Nile Davis just traded to the Packers. Now, this is something, and I've been saying this for years. I believe Kansas City running backs are good because of the system. So, Nile Davis going to the Packers, you know what they still have? A shitty running game system. Nile Davis isn't going to do any good either because their system sucks.
You know, and to bring it all back home, the real breakdown in the system is they can back the safeties off the line of scrimmage because they're not worried about the run. Defenses are comfortable with their linebackers being able to get in there, and the safeties are playing over the top, and they're buttoning up Jordy Nelson. There's no other wide receiver on that team that's going to take him up. You know, Randall Cobb's not the guy everyone thought he was going to be. Devontae Adams is a possession guy. There's a lid on that offense now, and it's really hurting. It reminds me of Arizona. You know, Arizona, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, Arizona loves the deep ball. And, you know, look at Larry Fitzgerald and what sort of is the resurgence of Larry Fitzgerald, because he's actually had just as many down weeks as he's had valuable weeks now. But the reason Larry Fitzgerald is back in conversation is because those other guys that used to get the deep ball, they haven't been able to get it to them. That deep ball hasn't been there because defenses, you know, have been able to leave a guy up top. Now, Arizona is different. They have a run game. So you know, I'm not sure how they've taken the deep ball away, but teams that are relying on the deep 20 plus yard completions are struggling and they haven't been able to put it together. And Green Bay is indicative of that.
Well, on that point, right, I think that really stems onto where the wide receivers rank. So we talked a lot preseason about top 10 running backs and where they're going to fall. In all honesty, you look at the top 10 wide receivers and there's only three of them in the top 10. Well, four of them. Brown, Jones, Green, Beckham. And was Mike Evans in the top 10?
Yeah, he was there. I think he was close. Yep.
Maybe five. Maybe five. So you got five wide receivers that were ranked in the top 10. Still there, which is nice. Still twice as many as the running backs. But then the wide receivers that were there are literally sprinkled out through the rest. Marshall's way down there. Alshon Jeffrey's way down there. You know, Demaryius Thomas is way down there. You know, you're talking about a 30-point drop-off, 20-point drop-off maybe between the end of the top 10 and where the other guys were. And I think it's on that point. If you only have the one big wide receiver, they're just double-covering that guy. And all these secondary wide receivers are really starting to capitalize on that. You know, that's why you have Jamison Crowder just outside of the top 10. Michael Crabtree at 10. Amari Cooper made a resurgence. You know, Eddie Royal.
Yeah, what like the 13th. Hell is going on with Eddie Royal? Right. And, you know, with full disclosure here, some of these guys crept back into the top 10 with, like, amazing, surprising performances. And, you know, OBJ is that guy, you know, 36 points this week. You know,
Yeah, if you gave him his 14-point average, he'd be in 24.
Dude, trade him.
Something.
Still trade him, especially now. You could get whatever trade the hell him. You want for him if you trade him this week. But, I mean, look, it's been a strange thing where these wide receivers have been inconsistent compared to, you know, last year. I mean, even like the top guys, it's almost been like an every other. Like Amari Cooper and Crabtree, you know, just when I said, wow, now is the time to start really giving Crabtree his respect and start him. It's funny. Well, it's funny. Defenses said the same thing. So this one's almost like the stock market. You know how they say you can't time the stock market? You know, don't try to time it. If in your head you're saying to yourself, oh, you know what? Now I finally got to start paying attention to this guy. Stop. Stop right there because you are saying the same thing defenses and defensive coordinators are. Do the opposite. Do the exact opposite of what your brain is telling you to do.
You got to go against all your instincts this week. You know, I'm fortunate that I have a lot of wide receiver talent on most of my teams because we drafted smart. And even when I make a mistake, it's not the worst mistake. I just won by less. But some of these guys, you know, and they're falling off. And, you know, you really got to pay attention to matchups every week with these guys and hope you're catching the guy that gets the touchdown is really what it boils down to. And you can't predict touchdowns. And that's a dangerous way to play these guys. So I'm just, I mean, I'm going down. I'm looking at matchups. And then I'm looking at amount of receptions per week, right? How many targets are they getting? And the people with the most targets are winning for me, which is why, like, even though Jamison Crowder's right in there, I've got him on a team. I actually sat him last week. He's averaging, like, three catches a week. Even though he's had a couple good weeks, three catches is not a fun place to be playing. He doesn't get the touchdown.
Well,
he's useless.
Now, the good thing is in our league, you know, we're getting some of those bonus cheesy points for special teams, and Crowder's been able to put that together for you. But, I mean, you really don't want to be relying on that in your flex spot. You know, that's a big problem. So, I mean, one thing that I have noticed this year, you know, like you said, it's people are paying attention to the number one option. Some of these teams that have like a couple weapons, the biggest trend that's really scaring me is it changes almost consistently every week that they're switching weapons. So one of the ways that you can get around that is I'm going to make a rule for myself. I'm a big fan of rules. If a guy is questionable, now, not just the questionable designation that they have to put on them, but if a guy's questionable to play where, you know, the fact that he's going to suit up is actually in question, and he's even day to day, like game time decision especially, but even day to day, don't gamble. There are so many options at wide receiver that are going to give you start worthy games. Don't gamble. You know, I was watching.
Yeah, you can get 10, 12 points out of a wide receiver.
Absolutely. And dude, use your brain. So, you know, like a guy in our league, the dude's in last place. I hope you're listening to this because I'm going to skewer you on this one. But he's in last place for a reason. And you know what he did this week? He picked up Sammy Coates like a week ago. And then Sammy Coates goes out and he has a bomb-ass 30-point game. So, of course, this week, you know, Sammy Coates is in his lineup. Now, dude, if you watch friggin' ESPN, Sammy Coates broke a bone in his thumb. He had a fractured thumb. So it came down.
I bet you it's hard to catch a football with a broken thumb.
You know, and it came down to a game-time decision. But I'm like, dude, he's a wide receiver. He makes a living with his hands. He has a broken bone in his hand. He might not even play. Sit that guy. So look, new rule. If a guy's questionable, especially if it's something like that, sit him. So for example, I had Will Fuller. And Will Fuller is already inconsistent. But on top of that, he had a hammy. Game time decision. Now it was an easy call for me because he was an 8 o'clock game. So your ability to replace that player, it's non-existent. So fine. But you know, same thing. If that guy is questionable, you might not play, and it's a hammy. Dude, stay away from these guys. Don't take the chance. Minimize your risk on a week. Minimize your
risk. Couldn't agree more.
So, you know, if the queue is there, look into what's behind the queue and just don't take your chances at all.
I agree. You've got to play like that. It's too easy to go get a guy that's going to give you serviceable production in the wide receivers. I mean, we're looking at the top, I don't know, 50 or 60 list or so is what I got it down. And, you know, it's not hard to find some of these people that are available in free agency that you can just pick up and spot start if need be. And they're all going to give you the same shot at 10 points once you get outside the top 15 or 20. So he couldn't have said it any better. It's like starting a quarterback with a bad shoulder. It's crazy.
Yeah, and talk. You know what? We told it to you at the beginning of the season. You know, you got to minimize the risk, first of all, and you've got to favor on the side of consistency. So there's another.
I want to go on one more. Sure. I want to build on that point, on the consistency point, right? We had a lot of wide receivers that went off this week that weren't big-name wide receivers. You had the Brits. You had Golden Tate put together a good week. You had who was the other jackalhead that freaking put up some decent points, right? You had a couple people who just went off and gave you, like, mid to high 20s, low 30s points production. Don't run around and grab these guys.
And don't fire sale your entire team to get these guys. Like, you know, Kendall Wright from Tennessee isn't all of a sudden. Yeah.
That's
he's not
guy
all of a
to
sudden
of.
Gonna make or break your fantasy football season, you know.
Kendall Wright is historically a decent bye week play. Historically, that's what he's always been.
Ty Montgomery from Green Bay with 10 catches for 98. Same thing. Don't fire sale your squad.
Blind shit luck. Randall Cobb suddenly having two good weeks back to back. 14.5 and 14.5, 9 and 7. See, his count, his reception totals went through the roof 2 weeks in a row. He's a guy that 6, 5, 1, 9, 7. Those are reception counts. He's questionable, but he's a guy who's been questionable pretty much the whole season, probably most of his career. He is an okay decision because he has reception counts. He's catching the ball a lot. A nice bye week fill. You see how we did that there? He's got some consistent performance, 14.5 points 2 weeks. Odds are in your favor. He's probably going to get 10 plus points this week. Golden Tate, for the season, didn't have as many points scored as he had last week. That is called craps. Don't play craps.
And
with money.
So speaking of craps, now I kind of want to make like a new like segment to this show. I want it to be like, you know, like your 5 o'clock news, like buyer beware. You know, they like show like the scams and stuff that's going on. My buyer beware player this week is Cam Meredith with the Bears. And I have nothing wrong with the player necessarily, but there's all of like the false signs are there, right? So we talk about receptions, 9 receptions in week 5, 11 receptions in week 6. Buyer beware. He played the Colts. He played the Jaguars, and Eddie Royal was hurt. Week 7 and 8, he's got Green Bay, Minnesota, and Eddie Royal's coming back. I'm not saying this player disappears, because he actually looks really good. But buyer beware. Don't put a big stake and don't trade for him. Don't drop a guy that, you know, you think is going to come back for him. Buyer beware on Cam Meredith.
So Green Bay's passing defense has been a little suspect. So I've got Cam Meredith as a decent flex play this week. But next week 8 against Minnesota, if you're playing anybody against Minnesota's defense, you don't have eyeballs. So sit everybody against Minnesota until they give up, I don't know, 14 points a game. When they give up 14 points in a game, maybe go, I'm going to start a guy against them. Right? They get the best defense in the league. Don't play players against Minnesota.
Anyone.
That would be the smart move. Anybody. That should be common sense. Anybody. Whoever you have, don't play them against Minnesota. They haven't given up good points to any position. Don't play against Minnesota. You know, Cam Meredith, he's a guy that, depending on the talent of your league, you might be able to trade him for some
That's
real
true.
Talent.
That's true.
Because he's got a couple good weeks. The hype is up. You know, can you trade him for a guy that's going to steadily get you 14 points a week? I bet you can.
Sell high. Sell high.
I bet you can. And sell high. And if you've got, like, you know, if you've got Beckham, you got to trade Beckham. You've got to trade him. Cam Meredith isn't a bad going to get you 10-plus points a week to fill in for Odell. While you trade Odell, you get another 12-point wide receiver. Now you got 22 points coming out of your wide receiver spot, and you got a running back out of the deal because you were
smart.
I don't
mind that at all. Yeah, if you could package a guy that you can get who's serviceable and get a position need filled, yeah, that's a good spot to do that in. But I'm going to go back to another buyer beware at wide receiver. I told you, and I L'd O-L, anytime anyone mentioned Jeremy Curley, okay, and he almost made me nervous because he started doing some things, but then they changed their quarterback. And
the moment they changed it, so I picked up Curley in a league, and then in like the one league I didn't have him in, and then they changed the quarterback. I'm like, son of a bitch, and I immediately just cut him.
I'm gonna give you a BOGO buyer beware, right? A buy one, get one. So I'm buying one buyer beware on Jeremy Curley. I don't want him because Kaepernick sucks and San Francisco sucks. For some reason, before they went to Cap, there was a thing there for Jeremy Curley. That's over, ladies and gentlemen. Blaine Gabbert is gone. So Jeremy Curley's a bust. The other buyer beware is fall.
Move on.
For the Torrey Smith hype wagon, okay? Like, look, I know he does have some chemistry with Colin Kaepernick. You know, they've played.
But Colin Kaepernick isn't good enough to carry any
wide receiver. Never mind a guy like Torrey Smith, who he pretty much just runs straight. Like, I'm serious. All Torrey Smith does is run straight. So, you know, buyer beware. I don't care if he's got good chemistry, you know, with Colin Kaepernick. The guy had 76 yards and a TD. Cool. It's all because of that big TD. He had 3 catches. Stay the hell away from every single San Francisco 49er wide receiver and maybe even player in general. Still, stay away.
What's happened to Sterling Shepard? He disappeared, right? This guy was really looking good the first 3 weeks. Last 3 weeks, 5-2, 4 points.
What happened to Sterling Shepard? You know what I think actually happened? You know, if I really like go to the tape and I look at it, now I like Sterling Shepard. He's a good young receiver who runs some good clean routes. He's actually doesn't look that fast. And I think what happened is I think teams have figured it out. So they're putting, instead of their number 2 DB on Sterling Shepard, they're actually putting a nickel or dime corner with a little more speed on Sterling Shepard and trying to focus on Odell. Now, also, you have a lot of Eli's attention going back to Odell because they're trying to get Odell going. So there's that. I actually think Sterling Shepard's a kid. If you can get him cheap as a package deal, I still take him because if you looked at the targets early in the season, they were there, and you know, it might be a rut, it might be more than that, but he's got enough to be a consistent target. And even though he's a rookie, Eli Manning trusts him. So flex at most, I say get him in the chance of an upside, but still flex as most.
Fair enough. I agree. He's till you see it come back, and you know, I think you landed on why the Giants suck is because they play like that, right? The Patriots never go, you know what we're feeling is you know, Chris Hogan, we need to get him going. So Tom, we want you to throw as many balls as you can Chris Hogan's way until he feels better about himself. Right? Good teams don't play like that. They don't care. They just pass the ball, like Dak Prescott is, to the open available guy. Having to cowtail to Odell Beckham because he's too busy beating up field goal nets is exactly what's wrong with that entire team. And most football teams in general, if they just threw to the open guy, they'd probably win more. Odell wouldn't have as many fantasy points, but when a real football player on a real Sunday cares about his fantasy points,
you know what? In New York Giants, definitely see Dak Prescott. You know, that is a team that, look, Dez Bryant, non-factor, who cares? It doesn't matter. They're finding the open guy. I think if New York could model their offense after New England Patriots, after a Dak Prescott, and just like you said, take what's given to them, find the open guy, don't force feed the Odell. But look, Odell had a great week, okay? I'm not going to take anything away from him. Odell had, 222 yards is phenomenal. They still barely won that game. So if they spread that ball around and make it a little harder for defenses to predict what's going to go on, they might be able to put up even more points. They might get up into that 35-point New England Patriot-type offense. Dude, look at the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, Julio Jones, yes, he's tied for number one at wide receiver right now, but have they been force-feeding him the ball all year? No. And he's been getting pissed. Like, if you watch the Falcons games, he's been getting super frustrated on the sidelines because he wants the ball more. But even he knows, you know, you're going to take what's there, and it's been working for them, and it gets the quarterback in a groove. Eli needs to get in a groove and spread the ball around, use the rookies. Speaking of rookies, has Michael Thomas supplanted Willie Snead?
It appears to be so. So when we had our draft, I drafted Michael Thomas, and you went over Snead, and a little bit was just like taking the gamble, right? Like, let me see what the rookie can do. And it's kind of worked out, right? Thomas is getting a few more catches. He's getting some of those touchdown looks. Snead got hurt there. Who knows how healthy his leg is? You know, maybe he's still a little banged up and doesn't quite have it all yet. It could be something along those lines. But I feel like Mike Thomas is a must-go flex on your bye weeks. I wouldn't be playing him every week, but you get a bye week, Thomas on your bench, he could be the best option.
I mean, dude, we talk about, you know, red zone targets, you know, mostly when we talk about like tight ends, but honestly, Michael Thomas now is, he's a big guy for a rookie, and he's a wide receiver that you can see the Saints when they get inside the 20, not even just in the red zone. I mean, when they get inside like the 30 to 25 more like. But they're looking at Michael Thomas. They're running Cooks and Snead deep to run off coverage, and they're giving Thomas the ball underneath, and he's doing work. He looks phenomenal, and Drew Brees trusts him. So, I mean, whether or not Snead is fully healthy is a big question. I can't give up on Willie Snead because he's an explosive player. But the Saints is one of those offenses. They're turning into, you know, we just talked about it. Three weapons. Who do they use? I mean, look at Brandon Cooks. I was almost ready to sell on Brandon Cooks. And, you know, right when you're about to sell on Brandon Cooks, what does he do? He comes out and he has a really good game. And you're like, well, shit, now what? Like, I can't sit that guy now because he might produce one of those, you know, phenomenal games. So I like Thomas better than Snead until I see otherwise. And you still have to roll with Cooks every week. I mean, you just kind of have to, right?
You have to roll with Cooks. If you drafted Cooks, you got to play him. You've got to. Yeah, he's a must start. I think he's a wide receiver too, but you got to play him.
You have to. I mean, it's kind of one of those things. Like, if you don't and he burns you, that sucks. So then again, if you do and he doesn't do anything and he burns you, it sucks.
Speaking of getting burnt.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Necessary evils.
Right?
Getting burnt on some of these guys. Some of these guys, right? I guess I was pretty right with saying at the beginning of the season that Bennett was going to be pretty good. Miller was going to be pretty good. They're both in the top five. That's pretty good. Some of the people that I've been disappointed by, though, Julius Thomas disappeared. Had a good couple weeks.
Yeah.
He's healthy, but they're just not throwing him the ball. And is it just a lack of production of the offense or what's going on there? But, I mean, at this stage of the game, you had 14, 9, 2, 0, bye week 3. Are you cutting him? I mean, he's going against Oakland. You want to feel good about that matchup, but there's been nothing to say that he's going to get any attention.
And the offense is having problems too. So if you got him, he's droppable to me. You know, he's definitely a player that if he's got a bye, drop him to pick up the other tight end, because he's definitely in that range now. I mean, dude, look, he's back, Jimmy Graham. I mean, the guy is back. He's being Jimmy Graham, and I'm psyched for that guy because that's a player that's exciting to watch. So he's a guy that's a must own. But I talked about a guy earlier who for a while was like a bye week fill in, and it was like pending the health of Antonio Gates. Hunter Henry is the real deal with or without Antonio Gates in the game.
He's only owned in 50% because of leagues.
49, not even 49. A full 50%.
Yeah, go grab him.
And dude, 3 weeks in a row with a touchdown, and two of those weeks is with Antonio Gates on the field. So, I mean, it's almost like they're running the two tight end New England thing. They're limited. They're beat up at wide receiver, but he looks good. He looks really, really good. And you know, Phillip Rivers, he loves those tight ends. This week, especially, dude, if he's not owned in your league, jump on him, start him against Atlanta. I see somewhere in the realm of 5 receptions and 50 yards being his floor. I think 5 and 50 is a floor, and the chances that he gets in the end zone is a 50-50 shot.
That's nice.
Which
for
with tight ends at this point, that's great. And think about it. He's got a 50-50 shot, and he didn't even really play the first two games of the year. So of the 4 games where he's really started, he's got, you know, 5, 4, 3, and 6 are his reception totals, above 50 yards every game, and scored a touchdown in 3 out of 4 of those games. So honestly, he's a solid starter, and if you can get him off the waiver wire, there's your necessarily, you know, evil filled in for maybe even the rest of the
very
season.
Very well could be. I like that call. And, you know, another guy that's kind of come back is your boy, Gary Barnage, getting about 60 yards a week, 3 to 5 catches, getting you around that 8-9 points out of a tight end. He's yet to see the end zone, but if you can get 7-8 points steadily out of your tight end, no complaints, and he happens to get your touchdown, you get a little bonus week. He's available in about 30% of the leagues. He may be out there. Maybe somebody you can grab. I like him as a pick.
And it's a quiet. It's been a quiet comeback, too, which is funny. But, and, like, it's tough for me because, like, one of my rules is if there's a quarterback change and there's a dumpster fire, then, you know, you got to avoid that, you know, those receivers. And I typically would put him in that bunch. But then, like, look at Terrell Pryor. It doesn't matter who's starting in Cleveland. Cody Kessler's looked okay. He's actually looked okay. He's looked serviceable. So I don't know if Terrell Pryor can maintain, you know, this level of production. You know, my football brain says at some point defenses are going to pay a little extra attention to Terrell Pryor. So if the extra attention's on the wideout, where else do they go? There's no number two in Cleveland that they're going to start to throw the ball to. I mean, Corey Coleman's been hurt. So Gary Barnage potentially actually even has a chance to come back and be Gary Barnage. So good call. I like that call. How about a guy that's he's pissing me off because he's producing, and it usually doesn't piss me off when people produce, but friggin' Colby Fleener, like Just make up your mind. Either be good or don't be good. Well, but don't do this back and forth crap.
Well, this is the problem, right? I mean, one, if you look at his mug on ESPN, it's fucking frightening.
Oh, my God.
It's
fantastic.
It's one of the worst pictures ever taken.
Dude, I just carved pumpkins like the other day. Like, you know, I did the basic white guy thing. If I could somehow get a printed out stencil of Kobe Fleener's face from his picture on ESPN, that would make a terrifying freaking jack-o'-lantern right there.
It's unbelievable. That's a horrible everything is what that is. So
awesome.
He's had two good weeks and everything else has been garbage, right? So you can't, I can't roll with a guy like this. Once again, I value consistency over the big weeks. Getting me 22 points one week and then getting me 0 3 other weeks doesn't win me games, right? It maybe won me one game, but doesn't win me games. I would rather, much rather, have Barnage get me a steady 7 or 8, something I can count on, than be all over the roadmap like Kobe Fleener.
And honestly, so his start percentage on ESPN is 50%. So literally, people are flipping the coin on him. What are the chances that those two games, and I know this has definitely happened to somebody, but what are the chances that the two games he actually produced, he was on your bench? And then after that, you're like, damn it,
what did
I do? The next week you start him and he doesn't do shit. He's that guy that's going to drive you crazy. So I don't know. I mean, if you've got two tight ends, if you're that asshole in the league that has two tight ends. And by the way, the last time I said this, the guy in our league that has two tight ends texted me and goes, dude, you called me an asshole on your podcast. Well, you're still an asshole, because if you've got two tight ends, and I know you do, and you have Hunter Henry and he was benched last week, you tool. If you got two tight ends and Kobe Fleener's one of them, try to trade him. Because,
yeah.
I don't know, he's kind of got that name.
You package him with another mid-level guy and you get something good.
Bang. I mean, there's a sucker born every minute, and Kobe Fleener is out there for that sucker. So
it's true. It's true.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, other tight ends, dude, Jesse James friggin' burned me this week. It's your guy, and I started him against you, and he didn't do jack squat. 2 points. He burned me. It's because Kyle Rudolph was on a bye. And Kyle Rudolph's that tight end that I don't think you can drop because of a bye, so I didn't. So I was that asshole with two tight ends on my roster.
No, that makes sense. And Jesse James going into that matchup made sense, right? But
it did.
He lost Big Ben. That makes the team useless. And I think that's kind of where you got burnt with Jesse James, because he got his 4 or 5 catches, he probably would have had 50, 60 yards and got you about 9, 10 points. You still would have lost, but you would have had a decent performance out of Jesse James.
So the last bit on tight ends, I two things, right? I want to leave you with the one last tight end roulette. If you got Martellus Bennett and somebody likes him, try to trade him, because I think he's fantastic and I still think he's going to have some huge weeks, but you can't predict what those weeks are. And dude, Gronk, man, he's back and he looks like a man amongst boys like he always does. So, I mean, the only thing you could do with Bennett, he's almost like a tight end handcuff, which is not a thing.
So I think if you're okay with, because Bennett's going to level off, he's not going to finish his number two, right? He's still going to probably finish right in around top 10. I think he's going to, you know, these next handful of weeks, he's always going to average you about 6, 8 points, you know, kind of standard tight end numbers. Some of those weeks he's going to get you touchdowns. Some of them he isn't. So he's like a Gary Barnage with upside, right? Gary Barnage production is his floor. He's going to get you that. And maybe 1 week he gets you 3 touchdowns and scores you 30 points. So if you can trade him and get something nice and you have like a Hunter Henry on your bench, fantastic. But he's a nice play still at tight end. And I don't know if you're going to get better than that for him.
You know who I like as Hunter Henry light, or like diet Hunter Henry? No, wait a minute. I'm going to raise the bar even higher, because like, you know, you go to Walmart and they have like Mountain Thunder. It's like the bootleg Mountain Dew.
I love it.
My Mountain Thunder version of Hunter Henry. And I think I just came up with an awesome nickname for this guy. Mountain Thunder, CJ Fedorowicz. if that's even how you pronounce it, from the Houston Texans, baby. This kid is legit. And I laugh because I don't want to say it, but he's a target monster in Houston. And what do we know about dumpster fires, man?
They love like their dumping binky. It off.
They love the binky, and Mountain Thunder is the binky.
So
this is not that week.
So this sounds stupid, right? But I want you to pay attention to something. I want you to scroll through the photos of some of the big tight ends, that like the top performing tight ends. They all have long necks, right?
They do.
CJ has a long neck. Therefore, I'm giving him a decent tight end status. And I don't like him against Denver, but that is something to look at.
Look at the trunk on that guy. You're right. Dude, so it's like, I wonder in, like, you know, in like the combine, they talk about quarterbacks' hands, and it's like Donald Trump's small hands. They measure, like, remember Johnny Manziel? They're like, oh, this guy's got small hands. It's of all the things wrong with Johnny Manziel, they were upset about the size of his hands. Do they measure tight ends' necks?
Like, it might be something. You know, like you measure ear to shoulder, something like that. Get this random measurement. We should just create that. Just keep calling into ESPN with, well, what's his neck to shoulder length? What have you got?
I could see Merrill Hodge now. Guys, you got to take a look at a guy like CJ Fedorowicz. Both the girth and length of the neck on this guy, immeasurable. He ranks in the top length of necks out of all tight ends in this year's draft class. I'm all over C.J. Fedorowicz.
I love it. We need you to help us with this one. We need to make this a something that they talk about. In 10 years from now, we can all tell our children, we remember when the neck stat started. It'd be fantastic.
Dude, I'm tweeting at Merrill Hodge right now. Haji, give me a neck length measurement on some of these tight ends. I need it in my life.
I love it.
I might go to Lucas Oil Field next year with like a team branded tape measure and just walk up to guys and be like, hey, can I get you want an autograph? No. Can I just get a neck length?
Can I get a quick measurement of the neck? That'd be great. Thanks.
Can we tweet like RotoWire or like a couple of these guys to do like next gen stats and like get like, can we get this? This needs to be like, I need hand size. I need the Wunderlic IQ score. And I need neck length and girth.
I mean, I think you're onto something. I don't think you're crazy.
Okay, I can't let this go. Name, scroll the hell down and name a random tight end. Don't look at his score from last week. Just name one real quick. Hurry up, go.
Richard Rodgers.
Richard, what the hell? Like, how far down are you? Bang, Richard Rodgers. Okay, he only scored 2 points last week. His neck is tiny. Dude, that's the shortest neck. Now, hold on. So, Richard Rodgers, you know, you've got short neck syndrome. Now, hold on. Levine Toilolo, okay?
Okay,
13,
yeah.
I'm not clicking it yet, but Levine Toilolo, 13 and a half points last week. No one knows who the hell he is.
Steve, long
I'm
neck.
I'm going to bet you $5 in a ham sandwich. When I click this link, the guy's neck is twice as long as Richard Rodgers.
Do it on three.
Three. Two, one.
Long neck.
It's huge. It's huge.
All right. So overrated tight ends. Overrated tight ends. Click on Zach Ertz.
Look at the neck on that.
Click on Zach Ertz. Short, stupid neck.
Dude, no way. Hold on. This is a thing now. Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz. Oh, my God. Humpty Dumpty.
Dumb neck.
Oh, my God. How about a guy like Crockett Gilmore, who's been a stud in the past.
What's the problem?
He's got a huge neck.
But he's got a long neck, but it's skinny, which is why he's inconsistent.
He lacks a little girth.
No girth, which is why he can't hold up.
So hold on. You asked me a question earlier, okay? You asked me about a tight end. You said, is it time to keep him or drop him? Let's apply this technology to Julius Thomas. I'm dropping him.
He has got a rank. He's got the girth, but no length.
He's got a rank in the bottom of the league in neck length. So as a blocking tight end, I'll give him the girth. I think he can block well.
On neck length.
The neck length is coming up short. Now,
not for nothing. Go to Jason Witten. This is one of the all-time greats. He's got decent length and solid girth.
That's the most well-rounded neck I have ever seen in football. I mean, that is, this is, I can't believe.
Go to the greatest. Go to the greatest tight end in the history of the game, Robert Gronkowski. Jacked and long.
Where is Gronk? Where is it?
Right above Witten.
Oh, my God. Look at that thing. That's a Greek statue of a neck on that guy. Dude, his head actually looks too small for his neck. That's how impressive the neck is on this guy. We need to do another podcast. I mean, I need another hour on neck analysis. So, hold on. There's two tight ends in Indianapolis, okay? No one can ever choose. Is it Dwayne Allen or is it Jack Doyle? We're going to tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Done. I've got my decision.
The Top Shelf Fantasy Football Podcast. We've done the math.
Jack Doyle.
I think you're going to be surprised. Jack Doyle wins the neck length competition.
He's got a little more girth and a little more length. Just
I'm going with Jack Doyle. This is absurd. This is absolutely absurd. Hunter Henry, folks, a well-rounded neck.
Yeah, Gronk-esque neck, right? Long, decent girth.
I just want to say
big
that,
head. Big head.
I just want to say
that
for the record, weeks 1 through 7, we have now spent more time cumulatively on tight end necks than we have on defenses.
And that's where it should be.
And that's where it's going to stay. I hope you guys missed us over the bye week. We're glad to have you back. We're here. New home. Top Shelf Podcast .libsyn.com, LIBSYN.com. Find us at our new home. Subscribe. You know, tweet us at Top Shelf Podcast. Make sure you also copy Merrill Hodge. We need the neck stat. We need the neck length and girth statistics from the combine included. Let's start a petition. Can we start? What's that website online where any Wahoo can do a petition? Can we do that?
We should do something. We need to get this going, right? And not for nothing, I think the first person that can get a neck stat tweet retweeted by an official ESPN, NFL, or Yahoo gentleman gets a free t-shirt from us.
Absolutely. I'm picking up the shirts Thursday, guys. I will have the shirts Thursday. So first retweet a response from an industry pro with a neck length and or girth stat t-shirt on us, baby. T-shirt on us. I agree with you. I definitely, we got to do this. So tweet us at Top Shelf Podcast. I'm your co-host, Jack Daniels at The Wilson Legacy. My partner,
Steven_Cage. Find me on Twitter. Let's get this going. Welcome back. I just want to reiterate, I am the greatest in our league, bringing down my co-host week in, week out, feeling great about it. Looking forward to another great week of games. We'll be right back at you next week, every week, through the rest of the season. Loving it. But what do, Jack? How do we win?
We follow the rules. We listen.
We subscribe.
And we draft better.
This has been a New Era Podcast Network production.